today we're going to talk about design encouragements, and that's a way of saying, however God has designed you, we want to encourage you to go that route. Obviously, there will be times when you're not working in your giftedness. That is required of us as believers in Jesus Christ. Sometimes God allows those things to stretch us, but more often than not, we have opportunities to use the skill set that God gives us, and instead of fighting against that or going with another skill set, we won't be as effective that way. So go with it. Now, in review, I want you to think about the times that as you've gotten to know people and you have an understanding of how they're wired, what their design is, are you willing to speak another person's language? So if you are a harmonizer, but you come across somebody that's an achiever, and your tendency would be to lean toward feelings, to stretch you a little bit, maybe you'd want to try to go their route, speak concerning thought, and vice versa, and see the value in doing that. It's putting the other person first. It's loving your neighbor as yourself. I come across people regularly that never do that. It always has to be about what they're interested in. I don't ever hear them asking questions about what's on my mind, what's on my heart. And every now and then I'll come across somebody that does that, and it's actually really refreshing. And so I want to encourage you to be a person that gets to know the people around you and would be willing to talk about what they want to talk about, would be willing to take an interest in what they're interested in. And notice that whenever you're around people, if it's only what you're interested in that you talk about, that should tell you something about yourself. And once they start talking about themselves or something besides you, and you want to move away from that conversation, and just the fact that you're listening to this says a lot. It probably says that you're a person that's willing to put aside your currency, your language, and reach into somebody else's world. So that says a lot. A lot of times the people that need to hear what is being said aren't the ones listening to it. So I just want to encourage you by the fact that you are taking the time to do this. And so however your wife is wired, that you would be willing to go and speak to her in her language. Don't worry about, well, she isn't doing that for me. Just be willing to go the extra mile for her and just see what God does with that. And then as you're thinking about what your personal mission statement is, it is definitely tied to your design. And what has God made you for? What, as you do it, and it is effective, it's not something that you've created some sort of fantasy world that you are good at it, but nobody else thinks you're good at it. Everybody has something that they're good at. Everybody. And so the willingness to go that route, and then to put that onto paper and to say, yeah, this is what I would like to do. So I want to encourage you in your great adventure process. And so point A, reduce your mission statement to a slogan or to a word. And so if you think about, like, for example, for Nike, it's just do it. That's the slogan. But even a word, and it doesn't even a word, you just look at a swoosh stripe and you know automatically, oh, that's speaking their mission. That you have no question about who that represents. And so whatever your thing is, that you could put that not just in a mission statement, but in a slogan. I'm to be an encourager. I'm to be a servant. I'm to be an admonisher. And then it could be servant, or admonisher is just the one word. Then, letter B, pursue the things that make you come alive. And the reason, because then that'll keep you going. If it's stuff that just destroys you, the motivation won't be there, because you have to know your motivational needs and wants. And you know that about yourself, and you're willing to pursue that. It's to be something moral, obviously. It's to be something that God would be honored in, that your spouse would be blessed by, that the people that are part of your church family would go, that's a great thing. So like, boy, robbing a bank makes me come alive. Well, no. They get the adrenaline flowing, but it's wrong. It's sin. I could mention a bunch of things that you might list as something that makes you come alive, but if it's immoral, if it's sin, no. But I even know of guys that have been in jail that are just so gifted, and if they would use that gift that they're skilled in for good, wow, amazing. Letter C, say yes or no to opportunities based on your unique design from God. Ephesians 2:10, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. So, you might have to say no to some things. Don't say no to everything, but no to some things that's just not your skill set. And a lot of this is tied to letter D. Include your spouse in your design discovery process. Your spouse should know you better than anyone else. You get to know her. And it says in 1 Peter 3 and verse 7, likewise, husbands, live with your wives in an understanding way, showing honor to the woman as the weaker vessel, since they are heirs with you of the grace of life, so that your prayers may not be hindered. So, God has made it in such a way that we should include our spouse in these kind of conversations. And then letter E, be proactive about finding your fit. Not haphazard, not taking it lightly, but as serious as you would take a serious habit, a good habit in your life. And get those things together. You do it for something, you know, a big trip that you want to take, or something that you're pursuing. I watch people with their technology, and boy, they just invest in that stuff. Clothing and sports and entertainment. Would you do the same with your fit? Because this is something that affects your life. Affects those that are around you. Affects when, at the end of your life, what did you do with your life? And then letter F, form a personal board to cheer for you and hold you accountable. Okay? Do you have a group of people that, as you think about this, they're willing to communicate what needs to be communicated? And we see in Proverbs 15:22, without counsel, plans fail, but with many advisors, they succeed. And then, Proverbs 27 and verse 17, iron sharpens iron, and one man sharpens another. I and you need objective input. And then letter G, keep your pursuits in focus by using your life compass. What is the thing as you look at how things are listed concerning you, your design, all of those things? Are you coming back to that? That compass that keeps you in line. I know that when I've been in a situation, I need a GPS to keep me on track to where I need to go. If I get out of that place, there's a recalculating and gets you to the place you need to be. So here's some questions for you. What was the most important thing you heard in today's session, and how did it impact you? And then could you explain that? And then could you state your personal mission in a word? And if so, what would that be? And how did you arrive at this simple descriptive word for the real you? And then could you explain that?